Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Good morning. Morning. How are we doing? Can you hear me? I'm coming through the desk. Okay, brilliant. Shall we just pray? Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, we need you now. We need you more than ever. We're out on that dry and thin ground. You just come right now and have your way in this, your heart that you have bought at a price. And Lord, just take away. Deja vu, I've heard it before. And come afresh, Holy Spirit. Please, Lord Jesus, come, would you? And just speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My name's Keith. I live here at the church. And it's just great to be here. Do you know, I remember when I first became a Christian. I've said this a lot. If you're a regular here, it's great to see visitors as well. And folk who've not been well back, it's so lovely to see you. But I remember when I first became a Christian, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't have the privilege of understanding what it was about. I really didn't. And so I just took everything I wanted. I was like a sponge. It was beautiful. And you know, and so I remember within a week I went to this Christian camp and I got baptized and I got boiled, fried and poached in the Holy Spirit. And it was great and everything was great and I loved it because, you know, and I remember hearing this guy speaking and I thought he was talking like Arabic or something different. I didn't understand the language. And I said to my uncle, he said, oh, he's speaking in tongues, Keith. And I wanted to do that. And so there was this seminar and I went to this seminar and this guy laid his hands on me. I knew absolutely nothing, but I didn't need to. I just needed to know that I wanted everything that God wanted for me. And I remember I went forward and I don't know what it was, but he didn't push me over. He really didn't. And I just felt this complete and utter sense of the Spirit of God. And I couldn't understand it. And then I don't know what it was. And I just was worshiping and praising God in that. And then that was kind of normative for me. And I started to know the Bible a bit. But I knew deep down inside that I was Christ. I knew I had a deep conviction of the cross, of my rebellion. And I wanted to know those things. Anyway, fast forward 4 years, I was the grand old age of 21. And then I got to this other church that the Lord clearly led me to. Well, I just thought everyone was the same. I didn't know you had Christianity. I don't know what's happening with this, but I'm okay. I didn't know there was any brands. It's usually because when I speak about the Holy Spirit, something goes on. There's a clue there, isn't there? And you see, I didn't know there were brands in Christianity. That there were like, you know, there were things you could choose and you could consume it. You could consume spiritual services. I just thought we all kind of believed the same thing. And so what happened to me was I started worshipping. I remember I was at the back of this church. I started worshipping and someone says, oh, no, no, no. Those things stopped with the apostles years ago. But these were godly people who loved scripture. And I'm not mocking or mimicking that. Because what we find here, what we find in our gathered churches are people, some people are worried about what does this mean? Well, is it real or not? If I'm kind of misled, but I'm sincere, is it real or not? Or what about, and I'm not here to speak about that, but what I'd like to say is, starting this Tuesday midweek, I'm going to do a series of Tuesdays on the Holy Spirit. On Him, who He is. And how do we know? If Jesus is right, and I think He's always right, that He will lead us into all truth, then I've got nothing to fear as a child of the King. And I want to invite you. The evenings are going to be a bit of me talking about how the Spirit works right from the beginning, right in the Old Testament, right through. We need to know the story. But also split into evenings of, what's your experience? Are you scared of stuff that people say they do? Do you think they're heretics? What about if you feel the power of the Spirit and you believe that people can still be healed and all that? What about that? We need to have that conversation because I realize that we are a family of God. We are the family of God. And the good news is that we can agree on these things and we can come to a position of grace amongst each other. But you know, a great conclusion for all of us might be that, Lord, Holy Spirit, I just want everything that you have got for me. And I think genuinely, with the truth of God's word, he loves you. With the truth of God's word for you, I think he'll start to speak to us as a church. And I think he'll start to speak to us individually about how he wants us to do that. Because that song that I sang, wow, in the Spirit lead me, works without borders. If I'm honest, I'm a bit of a control freak when it comes to the Spirit leading me. Say, no, not that far. And I think we're going to be in heaven with lots of people who think differently, and the Lord knows what we can cope with. But I just want to say, I want to nurture that sense. Lord, come. Could there be an openness to what you're saying to us? And could you show me what matters, Holy Spirit? Because it's not about my experience. And that background to that, the reason I want to do that and start that in the midweeks is it takes discussion. It takes family dialogue. And so I pray you'll support that if you can. Some of you are very busy and all sorts of things. But it's going to be Tuesdays. It's starting this Tuesday, 7:30, every 2 weeks, over the building there. And there's just absolutely loads of us like this. I'd be really, really excited if that was happening. But we started this series in Thessalonians because I want to ground that today. Because I hear a lot about people saying this, you know, we need to see more activity of the Spirit. Can I say this morning I was blown away? I don't know, was anyone else kind of like, I could have probably not said anything today and just let the band say. But honestly, the word of truth comes. And I pray this will anoint and I'll decrease and he'll increase. But Paul, we've just started this letter to a baby church. They've not been Christians very long at all. They're in part of Greece called Thessalonica. And Paul's writes to them, he's found out that they're doing okay. Better than okay, actually. Under massive problems, persecution. And he reminds them, right at the beginning of this letter, we've just started, so well done if you're here for the first time. We've just started, you can catch up online. He wants to remind them where the power is, because our whole motto this year, if that's a good word or not, as a church is we are saved to follow. We're not saved purely for heaven. We're saved to follow. And how on earth do we do that? And today I've called it following in the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that fantastic? Because, you know, without me, Jesus said just before that chapter, that Lou read, thank you. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So following in the smallest of detail takes the power of the Spirit of God. And so I want to be open to cooperate fully. And I just want to say, what is the primary starting place of that? What does the initial word, because usually I've got to tell you this, people have said this to me quite a bit. Keith, I think we need to see more of the Holy Spirit in the services. And I understand that. But you can't coordinate him. Sometimes something happens. But what I think they usually mean when they say that to me is they want some visible expression of worship or some audible expression. And these things, I've got to say, we pursue, Paul says. We'll talk about that. We pursue these great things for the church. But so often what they mean is they mean we need to feel more spiritual. I want to leave here probably more fully charged. And I really understand that. But I'm really wondering, today is really about what is the initial, before all of that can really happen, before I can even begin to cooperate with the Spirit of God, what has to happen deep inside here before I can do that? Because so many people go to so many arenas, small and large, and they look the part, yet they're not in cooperation or step with the Spirit of God who called them. And so today, Paul reminds the church at Thessalonica about the original, initial work of the Spirit of God in their lives. The work that meant that In spite of their persecution, in spite of awful circumstances, they could turn away from their previous life, verse 9, chapter 1, and serve the living and one true God. Isn't it beautiful? That takes a spiritual change. And to follow. Remember what we said last week. We said it's really important to us some foundations, just very briefly. That above all, this isn't a gathering where simply, you know, I've been to some rock concerts that are kind of lively than some churches. So in some ways, that's not the sign that he is necessarily at work. It might be though. But last week we said primarily the important thing is about our identity. We are the gathering of God. Very basic. To the church of God. And we saw this last week, that that's what we are, and catch up online for the foundations that we discussed. But here at Thessalonica, and I pray here, this is a community being transformed by the Spirit of God. And Paul writes to them, and it's lovely. So how did it start in the church at Thessalonica? Paul wants them to remind them what actually happened. What was it that caused the people in Thessalonica to turn away from their old ways and start to follow and serve the true and living God? I was 16 and people didn't recognize me because I used to throw bricks at the local church window. It's a Methodist church, but that's not a problem. There's loads of great... No, that went wrong, didn't it? There's loads of great... I'm kidding. Visitors, you don't know me. I sometimes do one-liners. My wife's not here today to tell me off. So tell me off some. I used to throw bricks at these beautiful people's windows. And they were great, actually. They had a big impact on me at the youth group. There, keep going with the youth group. And Paul reminds the Thessalonians what really, 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 really happened. We can look at the externals, but this is what really happened. Verse 4 and 5, it's there in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 1. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and here it is, and with deep conviction. Deep. This was no emotional thing. I heard a great speaker yesterday. I went forward, now I feel flat as a pancake. This was a deep turning around. I remember going to school. Oh my word. I went back to school and I was a bit of a lad. Imagine. I was in Hull, in Yorkshire, East Yorkshire now. I've gone back. And thankfully. And the RE teacher was amazing. She was saved, born again, full of the Spirit of God. And she saw my little face. And I had a blazer on like this. Well, it was one of them schools. And I had a little badge. I sort of hid it. But every so often when you walk, people's like, what's that badge? What's that badge, Foster? And it's like, Jesus loves you, big smile. Don't ever do that. All right. It was a mistake. But actually, God was great because all my friends were like, oh, Foster's got Jesus. He's found God. I was like, no, he was never missing. But anyway, the RE teacher got a hold of this. And the Spirit of God, I think so, because other people used to say, God, what's with you? And she says, Keith, I'd started playing the guitar and writing some songs. And I used to write my own songs because no one can tell you that you're playing them wrong. It's good, I'll tell you. And I remember singing this song. Oh, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I'd read these verses of this thief on the cross next to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, you know, today, I felt the Spirit of God saying, Keith, you've been a bit of a rebel, but today you're mine. And this song was like, today you'll be with me in paradise, feeling my spirit free, tasting the essence of eternal life. You live in glory through me. 16. Been Christian 2 weeks. Second verse. Hey, second verse. Powers of darkness you shall overcome. Feeling the need to praise God in his glory across the world. Feeling his love through the days. Beautiful. And I played that. I used to play that in churches with three chords. D-A-G. All right, you know more. Anyway. Right? Today. And people would be crying. Not because it was the best song that anyone ever wrote. But I think, honestly, I do. I think the Spirit took something within that. And it just, when he works in your heart. Paul says, you know, when you first came, it wasn't just with words. You know, the Thessalonians didn't agree with what Paul said alone. Good word this morning, Paul. I agree with that. I'm a Christian, and here's all the things in the Bible. And here's all the things I don't agree with. There's a bigger list. No. Paul says, when you came to faith, church at Thessalonica, it wasn't simply with words, was it? It was with the power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Something changed in you. There was something that couldn't keep you. We were sharing the other night in life group about this, about the whole point of transformation, what happened. And we looked at Paul when he shares his testimony and what Paul says here. And often we can share what happened to us. I was going along the road, I saw a bright light, this happened, da, 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 da. We can share the events of what happened, but actually to share the deep, deep, deep work of Jesus is a different thing. Paul says, when you were saved, he didn't say, I came preaching and, you know, I was there for 6 weeks, whatever. He doesn't tell him all the itinerary. He says, when I came and you responded, it wasn't just to words, church. The Holy Spirit, somehow, he worked a deep work in you that whatever the weather, whatever the Romans were doing, whatever the family was saying about you, you were rejected by your families, there was a deep conviction that caused you to turn away and serve the one and true and living God. That's the power of the Spirit of God. Have you had the deep conviction of the power of the Spirit in your life this morning? Before I speak a tongue, before I worship him, before I have a word, I need transformation, God, please. Is that what you want? Is that what you crave this morning? That word that comes, that first word that just, oh my gosh. And it was a crazy word for me, so I walked into the assembly, and in our school, Lou's a great chaplain at Blue Coat. In our school, we had whole school assemblies, a bit like your cathedral time and things like that. So there's 1,000 kids in the school, and the RE teacher had been back at school 2 weeks, says, Keith, will you sing that song in front of the school next week? And I didn't say it, but I think someone, the Holy Spirit, I said, yes, I'll do it. And then I panicked the whole, oh my gosh. And even the teachers who'd thrown me out of a few lessons and things were like, okay, let's see how long this lasts then. But it did. And I let him, Lord, down, and I failed, but his grace is beautiful. And when I could sing about Amazing Grace, and there's loads of other songs on the album. It's all right. It's all right, Jason, honestly. But something so compelling and so irresistible had gripped my soul. It stopped the Thessalonians in their tracks. Do you remember that? So often I want to try and get it. I might be one to try and want to get what this is all about. And maybe it's just about me coming to a point where I believe what that person at the front is saying. Oh no. There is a deep work where the Spirit of God suddenly, you could be the only person in the room today. And the Spirit is saying, you're my child. That's what it feels like. There's no one else here. There's him and you. Sometimes he comes back and says, I remember that time. Don't lose that first wow factor. And Jesus, we heard the reading, said what would happen. He's going to come and he's going to convict you. He's going to convict the world of the rebellion. He's going to guide you into all the truth. My word is truth. And this powerful combination, Thessalonians, of the word of God and the Spirit of God at work is a beautiful platform. So then I can walk forward and say, Lord, whatever you've got for me, whether it's a prophetic word of your truth, whether it's a way that I speak in utterances before you that I don't quite understand because I'm so broken and lost. Lord, the only thing I want it to be is authentic. And to point to your king, the kingdom. And if it does that, It glorifies him. So let's explore this. And we see this. The initial primary work of the Spirit brings great conviction. And it all starts not simply with words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, so often we can crave the experiences of others. I've seen that. People will come and they'll get caught up in a gathering, and that's kind of quite endearing. But then they wonder why there's no, it's like the parable of a sower, there's nothing quite rooting in there. Because maybe it's not coupled with obedience. The Spirit's not done that bit first. I remember in Acts, I don't know if you recall this, in Acts chapter 8, there was a guy who liked to, he was a bit of a showman and he got a lot of crowds. He was called Simon. Simon, a sorcerer. It got big crowds then. But when the apostles came into town and they were healing in the power of the Spirit, and there's such a big difference. Because when the Holy Spirit works like that, it gives glory to God, not people. And that's beautiful. Anyway, this guy called Simon, it tells us, let Luke tell us, he says it better than me. Chapter 8 of Acts, verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. Do you know what he did? He offered them money. He offered them money. He said, here's some money. Give me this ability so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit as well. Can I buy this? Can I have this as well? I'm craving the gift rather than the giver. Giver to come and live, the giver. And Peter answered, he says, may your money perish with you. Wow, that's harsh, isn't it? Because you thought you could buy the gift of God. You thought this was a commodity to be gained, just to be bought, even whipped up maybe. You have no part or share in this ministry. Because, listen to this, this is the key thing. This is the difference between Simon and the Christians at Thessalonica. Because your heart is not right before God. So what's the solution? Verse 22, he then goes on, so repent, turn around. Deep conviction. Repent of this wickedness, call it what it is. Don't caress it. Don't excuse the rebellion in your life. Call it out. Call it out before God. Lord, I need you to change me. And pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Wow. There's deep conviction. You know, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, he's talking about their new life. The beginning of chapter 2, I love it. He says, you know, when we came amongst you, you were dead, spiritually dead in your transgressions and rebellion. But the Spirit's made you alive. He has come and give spiritual CPR to you. He's brought you to life. And my question is, however we sing or do it, have you said, Holy Spirit, come, transform me in that inner me place. Give me that deep conviction of turning around to your things. And Lord, these other things I crave, get them in order for me. So perhaps we crave some of the more glamorous workings, yet have never experienced the more fundamental, necessary power as the Spirit of truth convicts our hearts to turn away from our old lives, to turn to live and serve the one and true living God. Could you do that? Could you just open your heart and your arms? I don't know how you do this. Could you just say, Lord, please? I've just got a few more things to say, but can we just have a bit of silence? I just want to give you the opportunity there. I don't know what you do. You might even want to hold your hands out. Even if you're a believer, just say, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Do you know, as the starting point for us is when the Spirit comes and does that deep work within us. Where does it start with God? What's his starting point? Verse 4, before this one, brothers and sisters loved by God. He loves you. It all starts at the very Father heart and the love of God, who sends his Son, who sends the Spirit into our hearts, that cry, Abba, Father. It's beautiful. For God so loved. I remember my uncle sitting me down when he saw a warming on my face, a little turning, a little chink of light. And he says, Keith, we're going to say this verse, for God so loved the world. But we're going to say, Keith. So it's for you. And I sat there with a trembling hand. It's very emotional even now. And I said, for God so loved Keith. I couldn't get past that bit. I couldn't get past it. Why would he love me? For God so loved Keith. He gave his only son. He didn't have any more. His only son. That if Keith believes in him, Keith, you're not going to perish. I've got you. You've got eternal life. Wow. Wow. Whoa. And I stood up. I burst out. The first person I saw was my cousin, because my uncle had said, it's really nice to tell someone. I remember going, Mark, Mark, guess what? And he's like, what? He's younger than me, he was casual. I was 16, he was maybe 13. I said, gee, I've been forgiven and following Jesus. He went to the cross, I've trusted him. He's like, oh, great, praise the Lord. Good. He was a believer. And I tell anyone who'd listen, John says this in 1 John in his personal little letter. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for us. Dear friends, dear, John's language is beautiful. Dear children, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's just infectious. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is complete. And this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And the Spirit loves and loves and loves and loves. It's beautiful. I absolutely love that section. And he finishes it in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. And this wonderful combination, as we close this time off and sing again, but I want a time of prayer and reflection, of a realization of the Father's love, coupled with the Spirit's conviction in my heart, all realized at the cross with the Son's selfless sacrifice. It combined in the Thessalonians' heart and in my heart to turn from worthless things to serve the true and one and only living God. And that's what it looks like. And that's a great platform for all the other stuff that the Spirit of God wants for me. And I want the lot. I still do. Everything. But it started there. And I'm so grateful. Just a very simple question for all of us today. Have you experienced this great combination yet? A realization of the love of God, how he loves you, and that deep work of the Spirit that turns you away from your former life. It's beautiful. Come to Jesus now. Come and set your name in the glorious promises of Scripture. It's beautiful. Come to see how much the Father, so much that he sent his only Son. We're going to sing that soon, How Deep the Father's Love For. We're singing that one soon. Yeah, great. And I pray today, maybe I think, as the Spirit works, you may have felt his promptings in your heart to turn from your old life, gaze at the cross, stare at it, allow this incredible combination of the love of God and the work of the Spirit to transform your heart. I think it's beautiful. It's nice to be still, isn't it? Apart from this, I don't know what to say. Which is unusual. The deep work of the Spirit. Can we just open ourselves now? Maybe just bow our heads. And if you've got a word, a gentle word, the Lord's given you a picture. We've already had one today. You got any more? What is it? Gentle word of prayer. Please, I can always bring the microphone around if you prefer to stay where you are. And then, if the group are ready to play, that'd be great. Maybe the Lord's convicted you, reminded you of your story. And when you first tapped you on the shoulder. What was it like when the Spirit first spoke to you? What was it like? Don't be shy. Bless them on today. Band included this as well if you feel. Let's put your hand. What did it feel like when the Spirit first, Jane, bless you, spoke to you?
After what you've just been saying, Keith, I was thinking a lot about how it feels to be free. And we sang in that song earlier about the chains being broken. And we should be free. We shouldn't be bound, but we are by a lot of things. So I just think the word for me today is freedom.
Hallelujah.
In Christ. He came to set us free.
Beautiful.
So I think we all need to think about those things that bind us, and the Holy Spirit can free us.
Absolutely. And if you know what those things are, maybe the Spirit's been saying to you, this thing has been, you've been long now. This has held you back. Come and pray about it. Sit on the comfy seats. I would love to pray over you. Don't let the enemy tackle you down. What a beautiful word, Jane. Thank you. Any others? Often when the first person speaks, it's a bit easier. What's the Lord saying? Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelchurch.com. bethelcoventry.org.uk.